This episode is sponsored in part by Address Validator. Did you know incorrect addresses cost U.S. businesses $20 billion every year? That's $216,000 on average per company, just gone thanks to failed deliveries. Think about that extra re-delivery fee, the handling costs, and worst of all, unhappy customers who might never return. But here's the good news. Address Validator has your back. It integrates seamlessly with Shopify to catch and correct address errors before they become costly problems. Every day, it validates over 300,000 orders and prevents more than 11,000 failed deliveries for brands like Sennheiser, Helly Hansen, and even Kylie Cosmetics. And it's a no-brainer to try. You can validate shipping addresses on your first 100 orders for free, no strings attached. Plus, you could track exactly how much you're saving in the Address Validator dashboard. So stop letting bad addresses drain your revenue. Head to the Shopify App Store and get Address Validator today.
I was like, okay.
The Rock's in a Scorsese movie?
That's been like the word, but like I don't think Scorsese's shooting anything right now. He just sold a package to Apple. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a Scorsese movie, and he had the scriptwriter, and the scriptwriter was good, and like it's DiCaprio again. But that literally just happened. Like they have not shot a single frame or even cast it yet. That's the last thing I heard. So the fact that he's currently in production on a Rock movie, I was like, I don't remember seeing anything about that.
Well, I'm sure it'll be good, and you'll never hear about it because Apple is famously terrible at promoting anything on Apple TV.
Apple just had a thing where you can get it for 4 months for $3. So I signed up.
Well, you're finally going to watch Severance Season 2?
I've yet to watch anything on it.
So coming up today, we got a founder who sold out a skincare brand twice, and that's with TikTok, which I know nothing about, and Shopify Sidekick, which is still fairly new to me, but it sounded interesting.
It's the end of April. We just figured we'd do a little Q1 check-in.
Ooh,
checking in on Q1 because we're business. And we do Q1.
Paul Kurt pre-interview intro. Is this?
Yeah.
Have we done this before?
No, because the interviews generally go a good amount, and this interview went real short, and I felt bad about giving them an episode that was this short. So we're going to pad that out a little bit.
This gentleman was in London. It was late for him. He was clearly tired. Yeah, so I cut him some slack. I cut a little short. But, all right, so going to Shopify Editions next month, I may or may not be taking the stage.
Like by force?
Yeah, you just have to wait and see.
All right, because I think Harley could take you down.
I don't doubt that. Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to go stealth and just try to avoid him because if he catches me, like, for sure I'm getting body slammed.
You got the height and weight advantage on Harley, but like I feel like he's one of those guys like he could do a takedown on you and just like get you in an armbar and like you're done. He just like pops your arm right out of the socket
or takes my head right off. For sure, he's stronger than me. There's no way I'm beating that guy in an arm wrestling match. But Editions coming up. They got new features, new stuff coming out. But I did see, we're talking about Sidekick on the show a little bit today. That's available in all languages now. All features generally start in English only. That seems to be the way of things. So if you're waiting to use Editions in a different language, Sidekick in a different language, and you're getting that from this English only podcast, your time has come.
What else is going on? We're going pretty well. First 2 months of the year, we were slow as hell, and I'll be honest, Daddy was getting scared because we were very slow.
Yeah, January, February, I'm like, where's everybody with, these like New Year, New Me projects?
Yeah, it sucked. And then March and April, we've been killing it.
And still have. I got multiple good leads just today before recording this.
Yeah, it's amazing how it turned around the first 2 months versus the second 2 months, which is weird to me because these tariffs, man, does anyone realize that like this is going to be worse than COVID maybe?
How so?
Worse than COVID COVID obviously great for Shopify because everyone is inside their house shopping, but container traffic from overseas, the supply chain, remember the years we talked about the supply chain crisis?
Oh, yeah, we all became supply chain experts on Twitter. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's coming again, like literally now. and it's worse than COVID, and no one's talking about it.
What's our evidence?
I think the COVID drop, Port of Los Angeles, Port of Long Beach, that is where most of the Chinese containers come into America. I think in COVID that dropped 30%, that traffic, like overall for the whole year, like 2020 was 30% below 2019. Like I'm sure there were months that it was way worse than 30%. Next week, like those ships take a while. We know what ships are coming. Next week, the ships are down 40%.
Like, so last time it was, there were shutdowns, like factories overseas shut down, living in general shut down here for a little while.
Well, and living in general in China and the urban areas shut down very hard.
And so inventory forecasting goes down and the actual production has gone down. So now we have this gap in our manufacturing. And then that, the analogy I've always pictured is, you know, the snake eating the egg. You could see the egg, but it take a while to move through the snake. That's what happens in a supply chain. We're like, all right, the initial incident at the front of the snake eating the egg did not take long. But then for that to move through, you know, it takes weeks, months, years. And so you're saying our early warning indicator here is what?
Is the, like, all the stuff got made, it got put on a ship, it gets put on a ship that comes to America that will be docked, and the ships call ahead, and they're like, we're coming, so get ready to unload us. The number of ships that will be showing up at the port with stuff on it is down 40% year over year. So 40% less stuff is going to be coming into America. So if you plan on buying stuff, there is not going to be the stuff.
So this is going to be like the empty shelves we saw in 2020.
Yes. And it's like, I saw like Seattle, there's literally one container ship docked currently. There should be more than that. This was just some random guy on Blue Sky who's a journalist, but like, I didn't really check on the number, but he was like, yeah, other than the ships that are currently scheduled to land, there are no ships scheduled for after the ones that are already scheduled. Like, no ships are on their way. So I saw someone compare it to, it's like a guy that got shot in the gut and is like, I'm fine. And he's just going to keep saying, I'm fine until he dies. Like, this is really, like, even if all of a sudden everything magically gets fixed in the next month, which, given the people involved, I don't think so, there's still going to be a whole month where nothing showed up.
Yeah, even if we resolve our tariff negotiations, you still have to make up for that egg moving through the snake.
Yeah.
Right? We saw this. We know how it plays out in, you know, 2020 with no stuff. Now we have to order a whole bunch of stuff, which then resulted in couldn't get stuff fast enough, right? We had just like lines of boats, which I was on a cruise ship, I saw it. And you know, shipping problems. It's that all over again.
And it's like, this isn't like, I'm not like wrong about this, or I'm not like projecting. The boats say when they're coming, there will be 40% less boats next week. There are already 20% less boats. This is happening.
When do we see it hit retail? When are we going to feel it?
I mean, I don't know I don't know how long the snake takes.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But it's like, there's no boats, dude. The stuff's not coming. But no one is talking about how there's no stuff coming.
This would be another toilet paper shortage, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know where those factories are.
Oh, thank God I got a bidet. It's just a garden hose I pulled through the bathroom window.
Oh, my God.
So now we've riled everybody up. You know what I would love to do?
Let's talk about men's skincare.
Well, I want to do another AMA because the last one was successful. The trick to this, I need questions. Just join our Facebook group, Unofficial Shopify Podcast Insiders. I'll do a pin post where it's like, hey, post your questions. I'll do that next month. And post your questions. We'll do another AMA episode. So our guest today, we got Ben Atwood, founder of Clubhouse Skin. And it is a skincare brand for men. So, Paul, I know you need this.
Well, you remember? I thought when I saw it in the file system, it was like Clubhouse. And I was like, that chat app? Are we still doing the chat app? I thought they collapsed.
Yeah, I think that's gone. I think it's over. No, definitely not the chat app. No, Clubhouse Skincare. But no, he was able to build an audience. He didn't have to use paid ads. He did Build in Public on TikTok. I thought it was a really cool story where, you know, you could still do a startup business with a, you know, a legitimate lean, you know, ship it lean, keep the budget low, you know, not have to borrow a bunch of money. That entrepreneurial story in e-commerce still alive. This guy proves it.
Let's go.
Today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, we're joined by Ben Atwood from Clubhouse Skin, who found himself working at a creative agency in London and feeling inspired and ended up starting about 12 months ago, a year ago, a skincare brand for men that sold out. And I think I heard correctly, has sold out twice already. Well, we'll get into it. Ben, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Thank you, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well. So, all right, tell me what your brand's Clubhouse Skin. That's, you've got that on Shopify. What is it? What do you sell?
So we're a skincare brand, obviously, but we really pride ourselves in using like natural ingredients mixed with like lab formulations to create like the best products possible. I think where we differentiate ourselves is we're talking to men specifically, but we like to say that we are the second wave of men's skincare.
And when did this start? How long have we been doing this?
So we technically launched about a year ago. I mean, we can get into this, but we had some, we had a manufacturer that we signed with initially a year ago, and we sold out of our first production run almost immediately and weren't able to get more product. So we had a second launch in December just been. So technically there's two launches there.
And did you have, all right, going into cosmetics, did you have any experience in this previously?
Yes and no. So I was working at a creative agency in London a couple years ago now, and just by chance, one of my primary clients was one of the biggest skincare brands in the world. And I spent a couple years working very closely with them, coming up with new campaigns and creative ways to bring in new customers. And got to know the industry really well. So I knew it from a brand perspective, from a marketing perspective, but as far as experience formulating products, no, I had no experience at all.
And, you know, what was the thing that made you do this? You were making things in this industry for other people, and you said, I'm going to do this for myself. You know, it seems very difficult.
Yeah. I can't lie. I think all product-based businesses might be difficult, but the reason why I did it was when I was working at the agency, I figured since I'm working so closely with these skincare brands, I should at least have my own skincare routine. So I went down to the local pharmacy one day where I was pretty disappointed by what was on offer. I effectively had two options. One of them was buying a brand that was marketed for men, but they were typically full of like cheap synthetic ingredients, even like forever chemicals that, you know, just once they hit the oceans, they don't leave. And they, from a brand perspective, they relied on these really outdated masculine stereotypes. And I just wasn't really drawn to any of them. So my second option was purchasing a brand that was typically marketed towards women, which was super, like very effective on my skin, but it wasn't necessarily something that I would proudly display in my home. So I felt like the big brands were all assuming that men are lazy when it comes to their skincare, which to some degree might be true. But I believe that there's a lot of men out there like myself who are willing to invest time into a more comprehensive routine if we know that it works. So Clubhouse Skin was really built on the assumption that we're not lazy when it comes to skincare.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. You had this personal experience of, you know, that there is no product marketed to me. As a marketer, you saw the opportunity, but how do you go from that to, I'm going to start my own skincare brand?
Yeah, good question. It requires a lot of trial and error. So you basically have to trawl through Google trying to find a manufacturer that can work with MOQs that are realistic for you, trying to find packaging suppliers that, you know, also up within a reasonable price range. You have to find a lab that can formulate these products. All of these things have to come together, which can feel like you're juggling quite a lot. So a lot of time on Google is probably the answer to that question.
And when you did get the product developed, and then you've got to build out the branding, build the store, you went with Shopify, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to be honest, if you're a small business and you're not building on Shopify, then it's a pretty early mistake that you want to avoid. So they just like make it far too easy to get started. So it was a no-brainer from the beginning. Plus, while I was working at the agency, we had at least one client per month come to us that was using a different e-commerce platform and would be asking us to rebuild it for them on Shopify. So I had this inside scoop, which just made it a no-brainer.
And what's our initial products? What are we selling?
At the moment, we're selling a cleanser, a moisturizer, and a vitamin C.
And describe this packaging, because I love it.
Yeah. Well, I love that feedback because I spent a lot of time going through hundreds of revisions of packaging. So I appreciate that a lot. I mean, how would I describe it? I would say that it's fairly understated. We're trying to go for we don't want to be a pretentious brand, but we do want to feel premium. So I would say that the branding was a balancing act between those two worlds.
That Helsinki moisturizer. It's so cool. I don't know. There's something about it. And then the way you photographed it, I'm like, yeah, it spoke to me.
Oh, thank you. I got to send you one.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I'll use it. So everyone talks about their first sale. It's kind of a big deal. What was yours like?
So, good question. I've been building Clubhouse Skin in public basically from day one and documenting the entire journey on TikTok. So my first sale was actually all captured on camera. And I cannot describe the relief that you feel when you hear that Shopify sale notification go off for the first time after building something for 12 months. There we go. Oh, I love that sound so much. But obviously, as you're building something, people will always say, oh, I can't wait to buy that, or I'll definitely support you. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything until they actually make a purchase. So hearing that notification go off for the first time definitely made me feel like the last 12 months of my life weren't wasted and that I had a good opportunity in my hand.
For sure, it's validation. What for that initial product launch, how did you market it? How do we get the audience engaged? Was it through this act of building in public on TikTok?
It was purely building in public on TikTok. Yeah. I think that the reality of having a small business, if it's bootstrapped, is you don't have a marketing budget. Or if you do have a marketing budget, it's purely from the cash flow of the business. So it's never significant. So at the beginning of the process, I was building in public purely as a marketing play, as a way to get attention. But it quickly developed into being more about building a community, because that really pays off over the long run.
It's with how big did that audience get?
So by TikTok standards, not that big. I mean, I think we have collectively about like 10,000 followers across platforms, which is not a significant amount. However, if they are loyal fans that have been following you for a year, that's so powerful. And that was more than enough for us to launch our business from and to generate sales and to sell out within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I definitely would not underestimate the power of being a micro influencer, you know, being in that 10 to 15,000 range.
Yep.
Definitely could get things done. But all right, so we're bootstrapping, right?
Yes.
And so you're doing, I would imagine, most everything yourself.
Yes.
How much did we lean on AI here?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, specifically when we were relaunching the brand, I turned to AI quite a bit. So in the process of our relaunch, I wanted to re-engage my previous customers to try and build up hype again because we hadn't been selling for a few months. The issue was I didn't really know who those customers were, and I am not a data guy at all. I am very much right-brained, creative thinker. Even the thought of me diving into store analytics frankly exhausts me. So I asked Sidekick to go through my sales data and tell me who my most loyal brand advocates were.
Wait, hold, Shopify Sidekick, the little like nerdy assistant icon.
Yeah, that little.
In the header, you click it and the guy pops out, yeah, helps you with your store.
Yeah, that little guy.
And it actually worked?
Yeah, it works. Yeah, it works great. Yeah, for sure.
I'm impressed. What, yeah. So what did you ask it to do? What was it able to do for you?
So when I was trying to figure out who my like most loyal customers were, I asked it to like go through my sales data and tell me who they were. And what it gave me was a list of all my customers categorized from most to least engaged based on like number of purchases and frequency of sales. So with that list, it saved me such a headache and God knows how much time, but I was able to take it and started cold calling a lot of my previous customers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to tell them.
That's scary.
Our relaunch, man, it was terrifying. It was terrifying, but it worked. It worked a treat. Like this is something that I typically would have struck off as too hard of a task for me. But Sidekick definitely made it a lot easier. It feels like,
well, you were able to just ask it for what you wanted, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And then work from, you know, most valuable on down.
Mm, yep, absolutely.
So I'm fascinated. What else could this thing do for you?
Well, in the same vein as me being allergic to analytics and data, I do know how important conversion rates are. So I knew that I had to get mine higher. So I asked Sidekick what I could be doing to improve my conversion rates. Turns out my product descriptions were really not that great.
So it knew this and suggested it to you.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So instead, like previously, what I might have done is, what I would have done is brought in an external agency where they would have probably charged me £2,000 a day to analyze my website and make suggestions here and there, all to just boost that conversion rate a little bit. But instead, I just asked Sidekick, and it was job done, same day, for free.
So the suggestions it gave you was like, you know, update product descriptions. Did it give you anything else?
Yeah, it was mostly product descriptions and optimizing my imagery. My imagery files were too big.
Oh wow! Okay, knew that too.
Yeah.
So did it surprise you what it could do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so much more convenient than because it's actually built into the Shopify UI. It's just always there, which, come to think of it, that's probably exactly why they called it Sidekick. I love that little guy.
Yeah, like the little nerdy guy with his mask on. Yeah. I can see it's supposed to be like wearing a mask at that icon.
Yeah.
Was there anything it couldn't do? Or you're like, man, I wish it could do, you know, XYZ?
I don't know if it does this yet. If it doesn't, I'm sure they're working on it, but I would really love for it to take over my customer service inbox.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That seems plausible.
It definitely seems plausible. It's something that I will adopt as soon as it's made available to me, for sure.
Anything else that surprised you about it? I have not encountered someone that's like, man, I used Shopify Sidekick, and it provided me, you know, these really incredible unlocks for my business. So I'm wondering, just, you know, open-ended, anything else about it that surprised you or that you didn't know?
I think those were the two main use cases, to be honest.
Makes sense. I've used it also just for like help and support. I'm like, hey, how do I do X?
And it'll, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Emotional support, Evan.
How would you describe its personality or tone of voice?
I feel like Sidekick is always in a good mood, even when I'm not. Like, I might come to it with some blunt question, but Sidekick is always, you know, a little bit more chipper than I am, which is nice. he's like that friend that's just always positive. Good energy to be around.
That's great. I love it. All right, I gotta give Shopify Sidekick another look. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we touched on the packaging. I was like, look, I love, you know, the Helsinki moisturizer. I thought the branding on the site's really cool. It feels like, you know, a luxury apparel store to me. So it's kind of like an understated branding, you know, a quiet branding in a space that, like, you would expect makeup for men to go the other way, where it's like liquid death in your face. Why'd you go the way you did with the branding?
So from day one, my primary goal really has just been to build a business that I want to own and that I'm proud of and is for me, under the assumption that if I like it, other people probably will too. So one of our taglines is actually go forward with quiet confidence. And to be honest, I'm a fairly quiet, understated guy. So I guess Clubhouse Skin is probably a reflection of my own personality. Plus, I feel the loudest person in the room usually has the least to say. So I really resonate with people and brands that aren't desperately yelling for attention all the time.
Tell me about the name, Clubhouse Skin. Why Clubhouse?
Good question. And again, the amount of names that I went through to land here is too many. But the honest answer is it made me feel something. Like, when you think of a clubhouse, it makes you think. Like, there's lots of visual references that come to mind with that. It gives me a whole universe that I can play with throughout the rest of the brand, throughout the rest of the messaging. It feels like, well, in its name, it is a clubhouse. It feels like something that you want to be a part of.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Hey, still struggling to increase AOV? You've built a great store, but your upsells and cross-sells, they're underperforming. That's because outdated apps rely on guesswork, and that costs you real money. Enter Zipify One-Click Upsell. Their AI-powered tech finds the highest converting upsell for every customer. No complicated setup needed. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So if your upsells still run like they did 5 years ago, it's time to upgrade. Get Zipify One-Click Upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Try AI-powered upsells today. For sure, I've come to realize with a brand name, you want it. Branding and brand names need to make you feel something.
Yes.
And ideally, in doing so, it helps identify like the ideal target market, where, you know, the people who aren't in it really, we shouldn't care what they think, but the people who do resonate with it should probably be like, okay, those are potential customers.
Yep.
And so you're right. Like the connotations of Clubhouse, it's positive. It's like something exclusive. I want to be part of it. I want to hang out. It's clever. I like it.
Thank you.
So you've been sharing your story on TikTok. And the more you're honest with it, I love building in public, but I think, you know, people's pushback on it is that, well, you know, that honesty, that candor costs you something. But I think building in public only works when it's candid. Give me your thoughts on building in public.
The reality of bootstrapping a business is you don't have any marketing. Like I was saying before, there's no budget for it. So bootstrapping in public is truly one of the only advantages that we have over the big companies. And if we're not going to leverage it, I feel like it's a huge miss for small businesses and a potentially massive unlock for opportunities. Like I have had retailers reach out, investment opportunities. I've gained a mentor because they found me on TikTok.
That's amazing.
It's unlocked doors that typically just I would have no business entering. So I couldn't suggest anything more than doing that.
You know, as the individual business owner, brand owner, being, you know, face to camera, sharing that story on social media is something, you're right, that a large company can't do. Like Unilever cannot do that. It doesn't work for them, right? But, you know, I think people buy from people, not brands, and that's what you're enabling here.
Yep, 100%. It was without a doubt one of the best decisions that I made, for sure. Like, as an example of the power of building in public and building community, there's a store here in London called Earl of East. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Okay, they're a really cool store that sells like homeware and lifestyle and beauty products, but it's a very curated selection, and they have 4 or 5 stores here in London. And I really wanted to get Clubhouse Skin into Earl of East. Now, I put out a video titled "Help Me Get My Brand into Earl of East" and asked my community to tag them in it. And long story short, they got tagged in my video constantly for about 4 days straight. And they ended up reaching out to us to stalk us, potentially just to stop the online barrage of commenters, but doesn't matter. We're stocked in Earl of East now, and that wouldn't have happened had I not built in public and had I not built a community.
That's amazing that your community stood up for you.
Yeah.
What kind of responses have you gotten that have surprised you? It sounds like quite a few.
Yeah, I would say that was the situation that surprised me the most. We also had a store in Paris reach out to us that found us through TikTok. The mentor that I gained is he used to be at Unilever. So I've got, you know, these super talented people that otherwise wouldn't have been available to me. All of these things surprise me. I'm constantly surprised by the messages I get in my inbox. Even talking to you, like, this wouldn't have happened, would it? You know, someone somewhere saw my video who sent it to someone, and now I'm here talking to you.
It's true. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. Hey, was this your first entrepreneurial endeavor?
It was not. It was not. It depends on where you want to begin, though, because one of my earliest memories was I used to draw like comic books, and I would go knocking on my neighbor's doors to sell them these hand-drawn comic books, which were so bad, so bad. And they used to just buy them out of pity. So I don't know if you count that, but in the past I've started other businesses, but this is the first business that I've started where I've felt this real visceral reaction from the market that they want to see it exist. And I've garnered, you know, a customer base of people that genuinely love the product.
That's cool. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, you know, now that you've had an entrepreneurial success, right? And this thing's really, it sounds like it's building steam. Has it taught you anything about yourself?
Yes, it's definitely taught me that I am more stubborn and resilient than I initially thought. I touched on this very briefly, but our first manufacturer presented us with a lot of issues early on, ended up costing us a significant amount of money that probably could have destroyed the business before it even started. But I found a way to get around that and to, get over the hurdles. So I think that I'm a lot more resilient than I initially thought I might have been.
You know, good personal skills to discover about yourself, or traits rather. If you had to go back, if you had like one mistake you could undo, and I assume it's probably, not hire that manufacturer. But other than that one, anything else you would change? Like, how could you have avoided that manufacturer mistake?
I could have not ignored all of the red flags. So That's a lesson. I mean, it's cliche, isn't it? Like, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is. But it's cliche for a reason. So yes, I think that would be what I would try to avoid. I would also begin documenting the journey earlier than I did, because I went a couple months without doing that. So that's a couple months of growth and community building that I could have been doing that I missed out on.
What do you think, you mentioned cliches, but what do you think people get wrong about entrepreneurship?
So I heard the hosts of the My First Million podcast say this recently, and it's really stuck with me. But they said that a lot of people play business. They do all of the flashy stuff, like make a logo, make an Instagram account, and like talk about it online without actually going out and making any sales. I've been thinking about that quite a lot recently. Like, what are the high impact things that can be done every day that actually make a difference, and make sure and hold myself accountable to the fact that I'm not like playing business. I'm not just, talking about it without taking action.
I think 100% I agree with you and them. I think it's harder with social media, right? Because you could post flashy things about entrepreneurship on social media that'll get a reaction, mm-hmm. right? And then that feeds the ego, and then that makes you do it again. And so kind of like the algorithm really manipulates you into doing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think it's an easy trap to fall into. And so you're right to bring it up and, be cognizant of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So where does Clubhouse Skincare go from here? Like, what's next? We've had this successful product launch.
Mm-hmm. I want it to be as big as it can possibly be, but I'm willing to do it at my own pace. I want to do it just by building a cool brand that people gravitate towards. We're going to bootstrap the entire way, so I'm quite comfortable with being in this for the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it takes. But in the short term, we're throwing a wine and jazz party in Paris soon. So if any of your listeners are based out in Paris, they can definitely reach out. They can come along. Also working on some cool collaborations.
A Clubhouse Skincare collab. Just knowing like how neat your branding is.
Mm.
A brand collab, that could be cool.
You know who I really want to collaborate with, and I'm just going to put it out into the universe, hoping that it happens one day, is Larry June. I don't suppose you know who that is.
No, I was going to guess Kith. I was way off.
So Kith would be awesome. That would be insane. Larry June is a rapper, actually. He raps about skincare and eating organic food and traveling to Europe. Like, all of these things I just think are so cool. I really resonate with him. So I'm going to put it out there, and one day we're going to collaborate with Larry June.
I think you could pull that off.
Yeah.
I have faith.
Yeah, I think so.
So if I want, if I'm interested in Clubhouse Skincare, I want to know, and I want to follow along, where do I go? Where do we find you?
Either TikTok or Instagram, to be honest. It's just Clubhouse Skin on TikTok, clubhouse.skin on Instagram. Working on trying to get the same username for both, but not yet. But yeah, either TikTok or Instagram.
I will include those in the show notes, absolutely. And hey, do you ship internationally by chance?
We sure do.
Oh, excellent. All right. I got some moisturizer I have to go order.
Yeah. Well, first one's on the house. How about that?
Deal. Ben Atwood, Clubhouse Skincare. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kurt.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.